This morning, I'd like you to take the Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 22. 2 weeks ago, we talked about forgiveness. Last week, we talked about the parable of the seed and the sower, and let the seed do its work. Today, we're going to talk about another parable, the first 14 verses of Matthew 22. And it's the call to the wedding feast. The call to the wedding feast. You come out on Sunday nights and we're talking about end times. And one of the things in the end times is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this is what Christ is talking about. It's going to happen. All those prophecies are yet to be fulfilled, but we're going to be part of it if you know Him as your Savior. And so we're going to look at the first 14 verses of Matthew chapter 22, the call to the wedding feast. But before we read God's Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to study Your Word, Father, to see its truth. We ask that Your Holy Spirit would come and pervade this place, work in our hearts, and change us. Make us more like You. We ask that You bind Satan on our behalf. And Father, You just give us encouragement, Lord. And that, Father, we make decisions for You today. Father, if someone here does not know You as Savior, they don't know where they would spend eternity. Father, I pray that that would get settled today. To experience Your love. Help us all to experience this today. And we thank You. We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
It says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again." Time after time, Christ has been giving these parables, which is a story with a spiritual truth in it, to help people understand. The disciples had a hard time understanding. But He speaks in parables basically saying, hey, I want to whet your appetite so you can dig deeper, you can actually find out the truth behind this. It's just not a superficial thing. We need to draw out the deep knowledge of God. He says, spoken to them in parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. They should obviously jump out at us as Christians who know the Bible that the king is God the Father and the son is Jesus Christ. In verse 3 it says that he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding and they would not come. Throughout the Old Testament, we talked about this in the youth class this morning. Hey, God sent prophets to tell the truth, to tell that Christ was coming, to tell that God's redemption was coming, and they wouldn't listen. And they just rejected it. Even John writes in his gospel, he said that he came into his own and his own received him not. If the first set of prophets in the Old Testament weren't good enough, in verse 4 it says, and he sent other servants, saying, tell them that which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Christ was coming. The marriage is coming. But they made fun of it. They made light of it. And went their ways, one to his farm, and one another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them, killed them. And if you read the Old Testament, you see that several of God's prophets, Zechariah comes to mind, they're killed. When I was studying this, I thought of the last prophet right before Christ, with John the Baptist, he was beheaded. And the religious leaders at that time weren't listening to his message about repent for the kingdom of heaven is what? Hand. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, in Jewish weddings, everybody was given a robe that identified you as part of the marriage wedding party or part of the marriage. And he found somebody there that wasn't dressed right. And so he saith unto him, friend, we need to understand that God is a friend of sinners. We make ourselves enemies of God, not him. Amen. How camest thou unto the hip and hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was what? Speechless. And then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few chosen. Or few will choose. See, what we need to understand is that Christ is preparing a bride. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through Ephesians. And in the end of chapter 5, there's an illustration about relationships and how relationships should be. And he starts off with a marriage relationship between a husband and a wife. And he says that that relationship should emulate or imitate the relationship between Christ and the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 27, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Today, Christ is preparing the bride. The church is the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And if you know him as your Savior, you're part of that. And Christ should be preparing you for what is about to happen, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because we are his bride. The marriage is coming. On Sunday nights, we've been talking about end times. And while the tribulation is happening on earth, in Revelation chapter 19, there is a marriage supper where Christ is going to be married to the church. Jesus says, this is a mystery. Paul says, I speak of Christ and the church in Ephesians 5. In Revelation 16, verses 6 through 9, it says, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Christ wants you to be ready today.
Amen.
You know, when you were getting married, you did everything you possibly to make that day light. To make everything go the way it was supposed to in your mind's eye. God wants everything possible done to make this right.
Amen.
Verse 8 says, and to her was granted that she should be what? Arrayed in fine linen. Once again, this concept of garments comes to play. Clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto him, me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, it's nice to be called to a wedding. There's free food. But this is a wonderful event. And he saith unto him, these are the true sayings of God. So we need to understand that Christ is preparing a bride. He was preparing Israel all the way through the Old Testament for this. And he sent prophets and they didn't listen to him. When Christ was born, John the Baptist was the forerunner. They didn't listen to him. And Christ came preaching the same message, and they didn't listen to him. Instead, they crucified him. But Christ is preparing a bride. And God wants you to be part of it.
Amen.
The marriage is coming. And all the promises of God are yea, and they will come to pass. So this morning in this passage, there's three things about this parable. And in verses 2 and 4, we see the call of the kingdom, and that the invitation is extended, verse 2. He made a marriage for his son, and you want people to come to the marriage. It's an invitation of a relationship. It's an invitation to each and every one of us. It's universal. And it's one that God doesn't want you to pass by. In Revelation 22, verse 17, the last chapter of the Bible, and it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life."
Amen.
The invitation is extended to you today. Amen. Have you taken him up on it? You're receiving it today. You have to deal with it. But here in verse 3, we see that the invitation is rejected. Now, I get invitations all day long in the mail. I get invitations to have people take my money away and invest it to make more money. In the trash. Okay? I get invitations to live in a assisted living facility. Nah, not yet. I get invitations to go be part of a timeshare. Yeah. We get invitations all day long that we reject, and rightfully so. But this invitation should not be rejected. But unfortunately, it is an invitation rejected. It says, "And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding." They were invited. And they would not come. They said no. They said no to the God that made all that we can see just a piece of. They said no to the invitation. In Acts chapter 26, Paul has given his defense to King Agrippa and to Festus so they could write a letter to send him as a prisoner to Caesar, because he made an appeal to Caesar. And Agrippa knew the Old Testament very well. And so Paul is convincing, he's talking about all the things he's being imprisoned for. He's just being imprisoned for the gospel. And in Acts 26, verses 27 and 28, it says, "King Agrippa," he says, "believest thou the prophets, the servants that are in this passage?" He says, "I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian." You know, this world is all about being close enough. Yeah. Or being near enough. No, you can't be close enough. It's either you are or you're not. There's a song, an invitation song. It says, "Almost persuaded." And it closes at, "Almost but lost." Making no decision is a decision. Saying, "I'll wait another day," is a decision today. Saying, "I'll think about it," is a decision of rejection. They rejected it. So you see, the invitation is extended. The invitation is rejected. And then the other thing is, the invitation is urgent. He said, everything's been made. He said, the oxen and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. It is time to show up at the marriage supper. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes and quotes the Old Testament Psalms. He says, "For I have said, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation, I've succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, the invitation is today." Behold, now is the day of salvation. So we see the call of the kingdom. But then, in verses 5 through 9, we see the challenges, or the challenge of acceptance. You know, sometimes we do get an invitation to a wedding, and we say, do I really want to go? Can I really do this? Or is it convenient for me? And everything else. You know, because we got so much going on in life, we just can't meet every invitation. There are the distractions of life. In verse 5 it says, so they said, the first set rejected him. The second set basically said, hey, everything's ready. Nah, I don't think so today. Made light of it, went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. There are so many distractions today. Doesn't it frustrate you when you're talking to someone and they're on their cell phone and they're doing this? And they're talking, and you're talking to them. I just want to take the phone and grab it. Listen to me! Okay? Or you take the cell phone and you're wandering around and you walk into a pole. Or you walk off the curb or you fall in a hole. God's given you an invitation today. He wants you to accept it. Amen. He wants your attention. But there's too many distractions of life. We talked about last week about the seed making its work. In the parable of the seed and the sower, there was the stony ground and the seed hit it and birds ate it because it didn't do anything. Then there was the shallow ground. Have you seen that? Those, that seed that's encased in stuff and it can grow on a rock. Okay? And as you see the thing, it grows on a concrete block. It won't stay there like that, because when that nutrient, that seed coating wears out, it dies. That's the shallow ground. That doesn't work. But then there was the thorny ground. Put in the seed was put in the thorny ground because all the distractions, it didn't take root. It didn't bring fruit. And Matthew chapter 13, verse 22 says, And also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world. I don't have time for this. The deceitfulness of riches. I don't need this. Choke the word and becometh unfruitful. Oh. We come up with a lot of reasons for not accepting God's invitation. But there is no excuse. Romans chapter 1, it says they are without excuse. So, for those who get the invitation, there is the distractions of life. Don't let things get in the way between you and God. Amen. Prepare yourself for the marriage. Be ready to go. Everything is ready. We just need to listen for His call. But then there's the disaster for the rejectors. It says, when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. You know, we think that God would just forgive everything that we do because He loves us. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 29 and 31 talks about this. This parable was to the Jews. It applies to us. They were the chosen ones. They are the ones that heard the truth. They are the ones that saw Christ crucified. It says here in verse 29, it says, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God? Have you ever seen someone take a piece of paper and throw it down the ground and stomp on it? God sends out a wedding invitation and people are stomping on it today. And it counted the blood of the covenant, whereas he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Don't reject. Well, I didn't know. That's not an excuse. You do know today. You're responsible. You're responsible for this. There's disaster for rejecting this. But the issue is, from God's perspective, He wants diners. And the diners are desired. And another thing is, go therefore into the highways, and as many as you can find, bid to the marriage. And in Luke chapter 14, verses 21 and 23, it says, so the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. They know they need something. God didn't call the righteous to repentance, but sinners to repentance. The self-righteous. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. There's always room at the cross for you. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them. Folks, I want you to accept the invitation of Christ today.
Amen.
Paul said in the book of Romans, he says, I would give my life that my brethren, the Israelites, would be saved. My heart's desire is to see Israel get saved. My heart's desire is to see all of us go to heaven. And we'll be able to sing, I'll meet you in the morning. And we'll always sing, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That's a challenge for us.
Amen.
We are His servants now. The challenge is God wants everyone to come. But it says in verse 14, for many are called, but few accept the invitation. So we see the call of the kingdom, we see the challenge of acceptance. And then lastly, we see the conditions for participation. There is the imperative of having the wedding garment. In verse 11, it says, and when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. There's a lot of people that think they're going to get heaven their way, or their religion's way, but it's not the right wedding garment. Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. In order to get to heaven, God has got to change your clothes. You have to change your clothes. You got to put off the old man and put on the new. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth himself with jewels. You have to the white garment. When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the sun, in the blood of the Lamb? The importance of being prepared. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. Next verse, that says, so soon the Lamb will claim His bride to be ever at His side.
Amen.
And all the host of heaven will sing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And will be invited to come and dine. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5, chapter 5, verses 2 and 4. Paul's talking about this, looking forward. And folks, the promise of heaven and the promise of being married to Christ should change our lives.
Amen.
Y'all know I teach Bible in high school, and I got some kids. They don't want to give this up because they think that they're giving up something to accept Christ. Well, what about this? Will I have my friends? Will I be able to do this? Will I be able to do that? And I said, it doesn't matter.
There'll be someone enthralled with God. It doesn't matter. But I want to do my own thing. And I said, that's the problem. You want to do your own thing. For in this we groan earnestly to be desired to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that ye would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality may be swallowed up of life. Oh, folks, the most important thing we need to do is to have your heart right with God, to accept the invitation today. There's an imperative of having on the proper garment. The importance of it and the consequences of being unprepared. Consequences said, well, I'll go out and I'll buy a knockoff. I'll go out and I'll get something that's imitation, not the real thing. In Matthew 13, in the end, after he talks about the parable of the soil, talks about the parable of the wheat and the tares. He says, okay, here's another farming thing. He says, a guy went out and he sowed out wheat. During the night, an enemy came in and sowed out tares. Okay? And the people that worked in the field came in once the thing sprouted up and said, hey, there's weeds there. There's tares there. What are we going to do? If you go out and root up? The owner of the land said, nope, let them grow together. And at the end, what we'll do is when we harvest them, we'll separate them. And the tares will go get burned and the wheat will be put into the barn. The owner of the field is God. The good seed is the Word. The enemy is Satan. The weeds are all the imitations that he does. It says in Matthew chapter 13, verses 40 and 42, it says, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. Verse 13, it says, then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 41 says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Everyone's invited, but the choice is yours.
Amen.
The choice is, what are you going to do with the invitation today? You must be ready. Do you have a wedding garment? Have it been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you know Him as your Savior?
Amen.
If you die today, would you go to heaven? Or is that something you say you're still working? If you say you're still working on it, if you say, I'll wait for another time, you're not going. Well, that's kind of harsh. I'm going to tell you the truth. Because if I don't tell you the truth, then I am violating God's word. Okay? And so, God wants you to accept His invitation. His invitation for salvation. His invitation to be sanctified and set apart and made a bride ready and prepared for the marriage. So you need to do business with God today. You want to have a verse of invitation. This is the time that we can do something and commit to Him. So let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time, Lord. Just ask Me this time of invitation. God, just search our hearts, Lord. Father, if someone here does not know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that today they realize that You died on the cross for their sins, You were buried, You rose again the third day to show You have power to give life, eternal life, and the power to forgive sins. That You sit on the right hand of God asking for us to accept that invitation. Father, I pray that someone would do that today. Lord, for us, help us to be ready for the marriage that is to come. Help us get rid of stuff in our lives that we know offend. And be pure in Your sight. We ask these things in Jesus' name.